Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Steve Frampton, Sharon Bradley, and Patty Zakas. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, our guest Stephen Farmer will be joining us to discuss universal messages and spirit animals. Now, before we get started, please join me in welcoming our wonderful co-hosts. Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thank you so much.
Good. Have you had a good week?
Honestly, it's okay. Been okay.
Have you had a week?
I had a week. Yes, I had a week. Thank you.
Maureen, could you tell us a little bit about your work, please?
Yes, I am. I'm a reader at PsychicAccess.com, and also I'm an intuitive psychic, clair this, clair that, and I help people in the direction that they may want to go, and I love my work.
Wonderful. Well, we love your work as well, Maureen, and we love having you on the show. You always make me smile. Good evening, Sharon. How are you doing?
I'm great, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing very well. I'm excited about this show because I wasn't meant to be hosting this show, but Patty's not very well. She has flu. Oh. And I was really excited to learn that I'm hosting the show because I've been absolutely fascinated recently by all of the signs I'm seeing from the universe, from spirit, particularly via insects and animals. So I'm just delighted by the synchronicity and the fact that I'm hosting this evening's show with Stephen Farmer.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It will be. It will.
Yeah. So,
Sharon, could you tell our listeners a little about your work?
Sure. I do work for PsychicAccess.com, and I don't use any tools, but I hear and see from spirit. So that's how I do my readings.
Wonderful. Well, it's good to have you with us, as always, Sharon.
Thanks.
And we have a wonderful new guest host this evening. Brenda, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I really am. You know, it's a beautiful day out, and I'm glad to be on the show tonight.
Well, we're happy to have you here, Brenda. Now, I know that you also give readings on Psychic Access, but could you tell us a little about your work?
Well, I'm a clairvoyant and a medium, and I'm a predictive psychic, and I'm also a metaphysical author of books in the Egyptian realm.
Wow. That's fascinating. I didn't know that about you. We'll have to have you on the show sometime.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you for joining us, Brenda. It's wonderful to have you here.
My pleasure.
As I said, I'm so excited about this show. And in just a moment, I'll be introducing our guest, Stephen Farmer, who's a world-renowned author, soul healer, shamanic practitioner, and spiritual teacher. And he's a really great guy. I can't wait to speak with him. He's the author of several best-selling books and other products, including Earth Magic, Earth Magic Oracle Cards, Animal Spirit Guides, Sacred Ceremony, Power Animal Oracle Cards, and so many other great tools and products, particularly relating to animals, power animals. I know that he also has a guided meditation CD, and he's going to be releasing a children's set of spirit animal cards. Now, Dr. Farmer is also host of his own radio show, Earth Magic Radio, on Thursdays, at 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific on contacttalkradio.com. And in addition to workshops on earth magic, shamanism, and Earth-Centered Spirituality, Dr. Farmer offers private consultations for shamanic soul healing and intuitive earth magic, as well as power animal readings. And I know that he does this by phone and in person as well. So he makes his home in Laguna Beach, California, lucky man, with his wife Jessica and their two children, Serena and Ariana. And if you would like to learn more about Dr. Farmer's work, please do visit his website. It's www.drstephenfarmer.com. Now be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. And if you were unable to catch our show last week, it was about 2011 Intrigue with Simran Singh. If you'd like to listen to the archive, you can find the link on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Now, please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our intention and objective to reach out to as many people as possible, so please do circulate the information. Okay, well, we're going to get started. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Well, thank you, Steve. Glad to be on it.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here, Stephen. I was explaining just a moment ago that I've become so aware recently of the universe or the spirit world's communicating with us through the presence of animals, so we're absolutely honored to have you as our guest. Now, I know you were a successful psychotherapist for many years, Stephen, before you retired and shifted your focus to become a spiritual healer and teacher. Can I ask you how you went about this transition?
Well, it was a process because, Steve, I actually had started exploring different spiritual paths even in my 20s. I wasn't raised with anything, any intense religion or anything like that, you know, some exposure to it. But, you know, really, I knew there was something more. And then when I discovered shamanism, it was just such a good fit. It was one of those things where I started grabbing and taking hold of and taking trainings wherever I could find them. And teachers, and I had the good fortune to have a number of good teachers and both various trainings and different kinds of shamanism or different approaches to it. And in that, I found that there was some universal elements that were very common, although they might wear different cultural clothing, that there were different elements of shamanism that were you could find just about in any culture, any shamanic culture. For instance, what you mentioned about the animals, or specifically the animal spirit guides, that is common to most indigenous cultures, if not all. I can't say all because I haven't studied all of them, but certainly shamanic cultures is the belief and the understanding that it's when animals appear in a certain way or repeatedly, that what is happening is not the animal, is the animal herself or himself is not the one conveying a message, but the spirit of the species of that animal. For instance, the hawk that sitting on the lamppost as you pass by may not seem significant, but for me, when hawk appears, there's definitely a message because hawk has appeared so often. Or the hummingbird that floats right in front of your face, or walking through the forest and a fox runs across your path. Unusual appearances like that, I think, carry with them a great deal of significance. And it's one aspect of how the world, the living being that the world is and all of the Earth Mother's children really are communicating with us at all time. We just have to learn how to be better listeners.
It's true. You know, Stephen, I'm just amazed by the power of messages coming through from the animal kingdom, and just the synchronicity. I was in my office a week ago and noticed noticed an insect on the carpet, and it was a grasshopper. And my business partner noticed it, and we just said, "Ah, well, that's inside the building. It has to be here with a message. And then later that evening, I left a restaurant, and there was another grasshopper on the roof of my car. And I can honestly say they're the only two grasshoppers I've seen since I've lived in the States, which is 3 years. So I knew that they were present to give me a sign. And this afternoon, I met my business partner for a short meeting, and she didn't even know about the radio show this evening. And she gave me a book and a set of cards, which I have in my hands right here. Medicine cards, the discovery of power through the ways of animals. So just an amazing synchronicity. It's so exciting. But I know, Stephen, your latest book is called Earth Magic. Could you tell us a little about it?
Certainly, Steve. The grasshopper came to me at a very significant time, too. I must share that, if I can divert a bit, is I was considering, I'm also a songwriter, I've written other songs, and you know, I've performed here and there, but you know, nothing big time. It's somewhere between a hobby and an avocation, I'm not sure what. But I was getting ready to record these about 4 years ago, sitting in my office, and the door was open, and sliding glass door, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'd set up a recording date, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, what, you know, should I really do this or not? You know, I don't know if I want to do blah, blah, blah. That's self-talk. And in hops, right, I swear to God, right on the right side of my computer, I can see it as if it were today, a big grasshopper. And I swear also that he was looking right at me. So my take on that message from the spirit, the animal spirit, or the grasshopper as an animal spirit guide, was leap to it. Go for it. And the other message was understand that the male grasshopper in particular sings to attract his mate. And since I was going to go into a recording studio and sing, I figured, well, that was another trump card, you know, for doing the recording. So the book Earth Magic that you're asking about, that's my latest book. It's really a compilation of ancient shamanic wisdom. And it goes beyond just shamanism, but its core is shamanic wisdom and shamanic methodologies. And the idea, the premise really being that the earth is magic. And when we can tap into the magic of the world, such as understanding that animals can sometimes be delivering a message to us, that plants themselves can also deliver a message, that the world is the entire world, the entire earth is really a sentient being. We, as a species, as a human species, have forgotten that, especially in our Western culture, that there is this kind of magic and mystery to the world. So my purpose in writing this book was to encourage and facilitate, to the degree that I'm able to do so, a reawakening in consciousness of not just an intellectual understanding of our connection to the natural world, but a much more heartfelt and intimate understanding of our connection through experiencing the natural world in a different way. And we need that right now. We need to remember our place in the world. We've gotten pretty, how would I say, Steve, I guess pretty full of ourselves.
I think, Stephen, that's partly why we lose touch with the truth. We lose touch with the Mother Nature and with spirit and the messages the universe is giving to us constantly. You know, I think that we're so wrapped up in our thought processes and our individual experiences and issues that we forget that we're actually part of this great magical universe, and animals are just playing their role in tune with the universe. So they appear when they're meant to, synchronistically. They're not caught up in this process of thought and chaos. They just play their role and they trust.
Oh, that's so true. That's well put. It's they're just being and doing what they do. The little bird. I give you, for instance, I've been growing a tomato plants. Although being the now that it's autumn, the plants are about done giving. But it was amazing. I'd have the door open in my office and I could see a couple of the tomato plants. And one of the things that happens that I learned about tomato plants, because I'm kind of trial and error guy with as far as growing things, is that there's a moth that will plant some eggs on the tomato plants, and then when the eggs hatch, or the egg hatches, it's a tomato worm, and they go in and they munch all the leaves of the tomato, and it basically kills the plant. So I've been this season I've been out there like looking for them and plucking them off, etc. And I noticed one day I looked out there and I went, there's that one bird. I call her Bertha. She told me her name, and her name is Bertha. And she keeps coming there, and she lands on the wire that surrounds this one plant. And I watched, and I looked, and she was like poking around the plant, looking around, and I got the message that she was looking for lunch, the tomato worms. So that, wow. that majesty of the interaction and the interplay, I didn't have to worry about that anymore. There were beings that were taking care of that to bring some sort of a balance, and that way everybody's happy. The worms got to eat a little bit of the tomato plant, the bird got to eat the worms, and we got tomatoes. So everybody wins.
That's fantastic. You reminded me of something that happened when I was a kid. I was only about 7 years old and living in North Wales in the UK, and I remember my mother hanging the clothes out to dry in the yard. Yeah. And she came back into the house just before I was going to school and said, "I know you'll think I'm crazy, but a bird just said good morning to me." And so I laughed and said, "Yeah, you're crazy." And it happened to her again. And then another time she made me go outside, and I did hear a bird, this bird that would appear in the morning, and it would say good morning. I heard it once, for real. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, and like 30 years ago, they would have put us on medication, if we'd been saying this. But, now I think that's the good news, and that's what's changing in our consciousness as human beings, is I think more of us are being able to say and share these kind of things, that we do, in fact, contact not only the animals in terms of communication, but the spirit that exists in all things. And we can receive messages that help guide us and make our life easier as we learn to tune into those spiritual communications of spirit, whether it's from non-visible beings or through physical beings that show up here on the planet, again, mainly the animals. But it doesn't matter the source. It happens to be that I'm particularly fond of animal spirit guides. That's part of my assignment here these days. But it's more about really learning how to listen to the guidance that's available to us. And one more piece I would say about that, Steve, is that right now, because of the changes in the earth, there are dramatic changes, the intensities of storms and earthquakes and things like that, and people in the economy, big word, economy, it scares people. And when people are scared, I think we need to look into another source of assurance. And certainly the most powerful source of assurance that life knows what it's doing in spite of our fears and judgments is spirit or God. And it doesn't matter to me what you call that, but how God manifests, I think, is particularly critical. And one of the ways is certainly through the animals, as well as many, many other ways. And that's part of my mission, is to teach people how to not communicate with the animals so much. I'm not an animal communication specialist. It's a spirit animal. And that way we can receive guidance very, very readily. It's a really powerful thing that's occurring. Really powerful.
It is. It's really eye-opening. And for me, it's just, it reaffirms that we're part of something much bigger than our individual selves, and that the cosmos is constantly communicating, and we just have to be awake and pay attention to what's going on around us, look for the signs, look for guidance, and seek to play our roles just as the animal kingdom plays its role. I know, Stephen, that you've recently released your latest set of Oracle cards, Earth Magic, based on the book Earth Magic. Can you tell us what makes these cards different from your other cards, the power animal Oracle cards and messages from your animal spirit guide cards?
Well, you had asked me what was Earth Magic the book about, and it was to expand, since I did a few of my works, the Oracle cards, specifically Power Animal Oracle cards and Messages from Your Animal Spirit Guides Oracle cards, that and also books, you know, Power Animals. There's a book called Power Animals and one called Animal Spirit Guides. That it was time, I was prompted really to expand beyond that with the book Earth Magic. And then it was a natural to do an Oracle card set based on the book Earth Magic. So the difference is there's 40 cards with beautiful, beautiful images. And that's not just my own assessment. That's many people have commented on beautiful images. And they are different. There's 48 cards with different images of Earth elements. For instance, I'm looking at one here, lightning. Beautiful, absolutely stunning picture of a bolt of lightning. These are all artists' renderings. A bolt of lightning that's hitting the ocean, and there's dark clouds. And lightning is the banner across the top of the card. And then with each card, there's typically one or maybe two words that describe the theme of the card. In this case, lightning is power. And then the people are using these cards as divination tools, oracle cards, much like the ones you referred to, James Sams and David Carson, I assume, medicine cards, and my other cards, that there's a guidebook that people can go to for a more extended understanding of the image, and then also a reading that's based on the image. Reading meaning a communication that I channeled as I tuned into that element of Earth. So there's various ones like river. It shows a river meandering through this beautiful forest that a Hawaiian artist, we've used about five of his images. You can see the sun coming through the top. And river is movement. Another one is, there's four spirit animals in here. Another one is dragonfly. And it shows a goddess emerging, just like the dragonfly emerges from the larval state to become a dragonfly. It shows a goddess emerging from the water, and there's various dragonflies all around her. And it is the message from that card is emergence, that there's something shifting right now. Anyway, the guidebook gives you ideas about how to use the cards for reading. And I must say, actually, the very latest product is one of the most intriguing, Steve, is the children's spirit animal cards. These came out about 2 months ago. I've done a couple of workshops with children and parents or grandparents. Very easy. 24 cards. We have a great artist, Pamela Anzalotti, that did the images. And very simple messages. And in the guidebook for this, not only does it have extended messages for older children that might want to read further, but also a parent's guide as to how to work with children in using these cards. So I'm pretty excited about all this stuff that's going on. It's great.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Your work's really interesting. Now, I know that you're very much interested in shamanic practices, Stephen. Could you explain to us exactly what shamanism is?
Sure. I think most people associate it's becoming more known in our culture. You know, it's like seeping into our culture, shamanism. And I think there's probably a misunderstanding here and there about what it is. The shaman's fundamental job was to address the imbalance between the human community and the natural world. And basically it was, are we giving back as much as we're taking from the natural world? And typically in a tribe or a village, the way the shaman could know that there was an imbalance is that illness of some sort would show up in the human community. And when that showed up, the shaman's job was then to address at its most basic level, its most fundamental level, what the spiritual cause of that illness was and how to address that imbalance, both in the community as well as in, let's say, the individual or the individuals who are ill. Having said that, what the shaman does basically is works with spirit guides in assessing what ceremonies are needed for guidance for the community or the individual, what sort of healing might be needed, spiritual healing. One of the most fascinating aspects of shamanism is the idea of soul loss and soul retrieval. In trauma, and I've got the advantage of both the psychological and the shamanic point of view of what happens in trauma. But from the shamanic point of view, what happens is we risk, there's a chance we're going to lose a piece of our soul, like a fragment. If you consider the soul body to be an energetic quality that is the intermediary between spirit and substance, the spirit and the physical, articulated in a very distinct way. That when we're traumatized in a severe situation, it's a part of us could leave. Often that's experienced as sort of spacing out or dissociation, etc. But if the soul piece, the soul fragment does not return, then the shaman's job is, with the guidance of his spirit helpers, is to go find that soul piece that most needs to be with the individual at that time, bring it back. And then, to use a phrase that is from our contemporary world, install that soul piece such that it reattaches to the individual's soul body. And frankly, Steve, I've seen miracles with this. You know, people change, their lives change after a soul retrieval. It's pretty amazing, and the good news is you don't even need to believe it.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. How do you go about that then, Stephen? How long is that process, and what's involved?
Well, I've been doing this for some years now, probably about 20 years. I think it's verging on 20 years. So it's become very efficient for me. What basically I'll do is either I'll drum or rattle, or I'll listen to a recording of drumming. It's a very monotonous drumming. It's about that pace. What it does is it induces an altered state in me. I have the client, typically the client is either sitting or lying down. I go to my spirit guides, which are the primary ones, my power animals, because shamans typically have at least anywhere from 2 to 4 power animals they work with for various reasons. And I'll ask them to take me, Wolf and Raven, to take me to the soul piece that most needs to be returned. I'll give you, for instance, a short story. It takes about anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes, depending. I did this for a fella that I did some work in Texas, and this fella was a long-time career military. He'd been in various wars, etc. And he was kind of hosting me as I was going back and forth between the hotel and the venue where I was doing the workshops. And I offered to do a soul retrieval for him. And what I found was I was taken to a part of him that was sitting in a palm tree. And it was about 20, 21 years old, this part. And this aspect showed up to me in my vision as a 20, 21-year-old saying, screaming practically, "I don't belong here. I'm a poet and an artist. I don't belong here. I'm a poet and an artist." So I persuaded him that it was safe to come back, and then I brought him back and installed him in, we'll call the fella John, that's not his real name, but I did my process with John. And when I welcomed him back, which I do, him being the soul part, John broke out in tears. And I told him the story. And John said to me, "Yeah, that was when my first tour of Vietnam and my very first combat, someone shot at me. The bullet entered my helmet, circled around, and killed the guy next to me. And that's when that soul piece left." basically saying, I'm not going to be here for this. So it took, you know, how long has that been? 30 years? And the latest is 5 weeks later, I saw John, and he was doing great. He said it was a little rough at first, because it takes, sometimes that happens the first week or two. But he's doing well. He got himself a girlfriend. He's feeling better. He's feeling healthier. He even got himself a new Harley Davidson. So that's just one story among many.
Oh, that's a great story. I know, Stephen, one of my co-hosts, Brenda, has a question for you, if you don't mind.
Not at all. No, happy. Hi, Brenda.
Hi there. Very fascinating, your subject. As a matter of fact, I think I even have your cards, too.
Which ones you got?
The animal oracles.
Okay, yeah, probably power animals is my guess.
Yeah. And anyway. I was wondering, you're talking about soul retrieval. It sounds like it's very likened to like past life regression. Is that true?
No, that's a completely different paradigm. And I'll tell you, it's, you're not in the difference is that in past life regression, which I've done also, you are contacting a deep memory within the person, actually more mm-hmm. likely a cellular memory of a past life that is having some influence on the present life.
Right.
In soul retrieval, you've actually lost, through the dissociative process that I described, you've actually lost a part of you in this lifetime. So
okay.
What, again, the job of the shaman or the shamanic practitioner is to go and when I do it, I don't decide where I'm going to go. If the person says, well, I think it happened when I was 15 or something
well,
happened.
The spirit tells you, right?
I don't, I'm sorry?
So the spirit will guide you there. You don't.
I do not decide in my conscious mind how to do this. I absolutely rely on my spirit guides, especially for the purpose of soul retrieval. The two spirit guides I work with are animal spirit guides, Wolf and Raven. It just happens to be that that's two of my main spirit guides, which I call power animals. So, yeah, I don't decide. And it's conceivable. This has never happened to me. I think enough trauma that many of us faced or have faced in this lifetime. It's conceivable that you could go to a soul piece that's in another past life of some sort, but it doesn't quite fit the paradigm of what we're talking about here. And it's not something that I've really experienced. So there are some distinct differences. Both of those kind of treatments are purposeful. They help. And I'm a very pragmatic person in that way. It's like, I want to get results, and I want to help the person feel better.
That's very fascinating, and it's so funny. My cat just came in the room while you're talking. They must be attracted to you.
There's something about even just doing work, whether talking or doing it. Animals love it. You know, I've had kitties come in the room, you know, when I've been at someone's house that during the actual process. And hopefully they just come in, and typically they just come in and they sit down, and they just like in the presence of that aura of spirit.
Well, that is very fascinating. Yeah, I have other questions too, but I'll let you go on.
Okay, sounds good, Brenda. Thank you for the question.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brenda. Well, Stephen, we're going to take a short commercial break, and then we'll get back to our fascinating conversation with you in just a moment.
Sounds good.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Uh, Well, welcome back, Stephen. That was just a quick commercial break. And I wanted to ask you about one of my power animals, Stephen. Since I was a kid, I've noticed that that spirit use swordfish to communicate with me. And I can see the swordfish in all kinds of unusual and really synchronistic ways. I was in a store the other day and I was looking at some product, and I was asking Spirit as well about a decision I needed to make. And a kid stormed into the store and was talking with her mother, and she said the word swordfish, just as I'd been asking for guidance. What does swordfish represent?
Well, swordfish they're very powerful fighters. So it would represent let me put it a different way, rather than just representing, it's particularly since it's a totem animal, or you might even call it a power animal, it represents someone or a spirit guide that you could call on when you need to set boundaries, when you need to be assertive. It's also a really well, if you're feeling a bit low, or your energy's low or something like that, but you need, you know, kind of pull up some energy from spirit world, swordfish would be a good conduit, you know, for that extra bit of energy, sort of like a two espressos that I think would help you out.
Well, I have to remember that when I go for coffee, double espresso.
There you go. Yeah,
swordfish.
Try swordfish instead of coffee, just to see what happens. Because it's a water animal, specifically a fish, it's also about really helping you stay in tune with or in touch with your emotions. Water, as you know, is both representative of emotions as well as the subconscious. So it allows you to, when swordfish shows up for you, it's a reminder to pay attention to both of those, to both what your urgings, those barely conscious, just below the surface kind of urgings that are coming from your subconscious, which is connected to the superconscious and the collective consciousness and of spirit. So there may be something, let's say, bugging you, or some sadness, or maybe even just a lightness, that when swordfish shows up like that, like those kind of synchronistic moments, it's, I think, time to pay attention to those areas. You know, is there some questions I would ask? Is there a situation where I need to be more assertive? And that one feels like a bingo as I tune in. That probably was a circumstance where you were dealing with a situation where you needed to be a lot clearer about what you wanted, what you didn't want, that sort of thing. So swordfish is really good to remind you about that, as well as being an ally to help you with that, those kind of considerations. What else? Swordfish is also in some ways similar to humpback whale, which is a reminder to be willing to stretch your thinking beyond maybe habitual ways that you believe. The term that I'm thinking of, particularly apt for a humpback whale particularly, but swordfish is true, is breach. You know how when they jump out of the water, you've seen images of those? Well, in this sense, breaching means, first, one thing is coming up for air. You know, that may be the message. Come up for air. Second is to breach, break out of, let's say, a static or habitual way of thinking or feeling. So those are some ideas of what swordfish could be, what message swordfish could be delivering to you.
Thank you, Stephen. That's really, really useful. I made some notes, but I'll be listening back to the radio show just to make sure I've really thoroughly captured the messages of swordfish, because I've noticed the swordfish for as long as I can remember. Can you help us to understand or determine, Stephen, how to differentiate between just seeing an animal as opposed to realizing that that animal is present to give us a message?
Absolutely. The simple guidelines for that are this. One, if the animal appears in an unusual way, 2, repetition. Signs and omens tend to come in repetition generally, and it's very applicable to animals. I'll give you a for instance. In the children's spirit animal cards, we took a vacation in Hawaii. We stayed with some friends, Bill and Stephanie, and I had brought the children's cards with me to kind of show them off, tell you the truth. And so I was showing them, to explaining what it was about, and they know my work, and they've used my Oracle cards, and they're really dear friends. So I was talking to Bill and Stephanie, I was showing them, and I said, for instance, let me just ask a question of this, the children's cards. There's only 24 cards. But I thought, let me, as a demonstration. So I said, okay, what do I need to know about this trip here, this vacation? So I drew the card, and it was turtle. And the message on the card, get this, the message on the card was, take your time. So that's one way that the spirit animal will show up. But here's where it gets really interesting. For the next several weeks, so many times turtle was referred to. Example, we're on the Big Island of Hawaii, and we had planned this trip anyway, but there's an animal sanctuary. They rescue, you know, animals that need to be rescued. And of course, guess what I saw there? Two turtles, tortoises really, the land turtles. We go down to the ocean, and we're on a little bay, and my stepdaughters and my wife, we were swimming there, and suddenly I looked over, there's people gathered around this one part, and I go over there, there's a turtle. I mean, this just went on and on. People would be in, you know, referencing turtles. And the message to me, Steve, was very, very clearly, slow down, take your time, basically. And then when I stopped and I listened closely, I said in my mind, turtle spirit, what are you trying to tell me? And turtle spirit basically said, remember the tortoise and the hare, that story? Think about it. Second thing turtle spirit said to me was, take your time, stop rushing around. You're going to get there anyway. And you know what? I absolutely appreciate, and I've thanked turtle spirit so many times. I mean, I'm in Florida doing my tour in Florida, and I'm going to this workshop, and I turned the wrong way, and I'm late, and I'm starting to get all like, starting to get all like agitated about it. And I pass a sign. I swear, this is how spirit works. I didn't see a turtle. I pass a sign that says, this is a turtle nesting area, so leave them alone. And I went, okay, that was a sign for, you know, leave the turtles alone. But for me, it was part of this repetitive pattern that was showing up with turtle spirit coming through in different ways. That's a good example of not only unusual, but repetitive. Now, I guess to finish that or to round that out, the significance of an animal showing up in your life, even though I've given you these guidelines, you know, unusual or repeatedly, is not just the physical animal. It's also symbols or representations of the animal. An example of that would be a dream where a lion shows up, you know, big dream where you wake up, go, whoa, that was an amazing dream. Well, that is lion spirit coming through your consciousness in the dream time to convey a message to you. Likely it would mean something like what you would imagine, just like in The Wizard of Oz, you know, be courageous, you know, take a chance, be brave, ask for what you want. That's another way that these spirit animals will teach us and try to reach us, is through the symbolic. Hearing somebody talk about an animal. You're in the supermarket and you hear somebody talking about owls, and you go, "Oh, that's interesting, owls." You go home, you flip on the TV, and there on the Discovery Channel is a show about owls. You happen to be reading that night a novel, a fictional novel, and just what you're reading about comes across, there's a reference to owls. You see what I mean? That's a symbolic representation, but it's owl spirit trying to reach you. So that's some ways that you can know.
Well, I'm just blown away by the turtle example, because I was speaking with a client just a few days ago, and again, synchronistically, I didn't know I was hosting this show with you this evening.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I was speaking with my client, and I said to her, you know, listen and pay attention to the universe, live consciously, look out for everything, even look out for animals or right. insects that appear synchronistically in your life. And the description you gave of the turtle is very relevant to me, and I was just listening to your explanation and the message of the turtle and thanking you energetically and thanking Spirit as well for the message and the insight. But actually, this client that I was speaking to sent me a photograph yesterday evening. She emailed me a photograph, and she put in the email, I can't believe this. You won't believe it. Look what I found in my yard. And I opened the photograph, and there is a picture of my client holding this little tortoise.
That's perfect. See, now that's for you, but guess what? That's another one for me.
Okay.
In other words, it's for both of us, really, or anyone else who's listening where there's some relevance. It's kind of, in a certain way, Steve, it's sort of like beauty. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Well, significance is in the eye of the beholder. If on one level, a turtle showing up is just, wow, isn't that cool? It's a turtle. On another level, it's like, well, it's a turtle and it's got a life force called spirit. And on a third level, and this is what we're really talking about, is in those instances like we've been talking about here, Steve, it's the entire collective consciousness of that species that is basically sent you a representative to give you that message. I mean, there may be other messages from turtle spirit, but that's the one that really landed and stuck with me very solidly. And here we go again. I'm still hearing from Turtle through your story. Oh, it's great.
Amazing. It's amazing. And I'd never thought of that concept, the fact that it's not necessarily the individual animal or insect that's present in our lives or in that moment to give us a message, but it's the entire species.
Yeah, it's the collective consciousness of that species, and I really believe, first off, that spirit is trying to help us in so many ways, and one of the more accessible ways, and this is so true, and you've got some demonstration yourself of this, is through animals. There's other ways. Of course there are. Angels, ancestors. There's some cultures, in fact, Hawaiian, the ones I'm familiar with to some extent of the Hawaiian culture, the old religion, the old Hawaiian spiritual practices, and many of the Aboriginal Australian practices, where the belief system is that the ancestors do show up as animal spirit guides. Isn't that interesting? In Hawaii, they call them Amakua. The Akua are the big gods and goddesses. And they believe that when you die, you go to this land called Po, P-O, Po. And there you hang out with the gods and goddesses. And when you do, you accumulate power or mana. And then when you're ready, you go back into the physical world, but in a different form. Could be a plant, an animal, etc. People that are of your lineage that exist in the physical form are connected to you and know that you are delivering a message when a certain animal shows up or a plant shows up. And these are the Amakua. They're kind of equivalent to totem animals, but it's a deeper kind of a concept because it also involves the ancestors.
Wow. I hadn't considered that point either. I'm learning all the time.
Yeah, it's great stuff. It's fun, too. That's the other. It's fun.
It really is. I know that on your website, it mentions that there are four ways to get messages from our spirit guides. Can you explain to us what those four ways are, Stephen, to help us and our listeners to identify our guides?
Yeah, sure. It's pretty much how we take in the world. That's the it's visual, auditory, something I would call kinesthetic and cognitive. Visual is in getting information. Let's say, often what I recommend to people is, let's say if you have a crow that you're sitting outside and just enjoying the day or having a cup of tea or something like that, a crow flies down and 4 feet away lands right there and looks at you. Like somebody was telling me earlier, that actually happened to him. Well, I would first off call that an unusual experience. You can go to reference books. You know, you can go to my book, Animal Spirit Guides, or the Power Animal Oracle Cards, or you can go to there's a few other books that I think are available like that. Or you can go to the internet, just do Crow Spirit, Crow Totem. Or you can ask the spirit of Crow, what's the message? And here's what you do. You close your eyes, take a deep breath just to get centered, and in your mind, telepathically, just say in your mind, Crow Spirit, what's the message? And then, as soon as you ask that question, the information from Spirit, and specifically Crow Spirit, will come through in one or more of those four different ways: visual, auditory, kinesthetic, or cognitive. Visual, in your mind's eye, you might get an impression that says, "Oh, you have to, you know, you gotta, you just see this project you've been working on. You see its completion." Or you open your eyes after you've asked the question, and your vision is directed. Your eyes are directed to something in the environment that is a significant piece of the message. That's visual. Second, auditory. Auditory, one of a couple things. One is, you could say that inner voice. You hear the Crow Spirit saying something to you, and typically it's very short sentences. It's not a lengthy dialogue or monologue. Or I call it the whisper in the ear. It feels like it sounds like a whisper in the ear. So that's one way, is the inner voice or whisper in the ear. The second auditory is maybe your mate or your partner, your wife, your husband, you know, comes out, sits with you and says something, and what they say, something in what they say jumps out at you, so you hear it. Third is kinesthetic, and that just means the sensations in your body. Sometimes people call that your intuition, gut feeling. You maybe can't explain it, but you just get a feeling about it. And the fourth way is cognitive. Cognitive is just a thought. You just kind of know what the message is, you know, without necessarily understanding exactly how you know, but you just know it. Now, what I teach, Steve, is that most people are really strong in one or two of these, and then the others are sort of underdeveloped, as I would call them. Myself, my primary ways of receiving spiritual information is through my hearing and through the kinesthetics, my body, my feelings. Now, over the years, as I've practiced this, I also now am able to get imagery. And certainly I get thoughts, you know, that pop into my head, the cognitive angle. I usually suggest go with your strength. Not everybody is highly visual. As I'm saying this, I'm curious, Steve, if you get a hunch or an idea of maybe one or two that you're strongest in. Do you get any idea of that? Hate to put you on the spot, but I'm doing it.
I'm primarily claircognizant.
Okay.
I just speak when I read. I do see in my mind's eye, and sometimes I do hear spirit. When I was a child, I would see spirit visually, also obviously, but externally, and sure. I could interact with spirit in a conversation as I can interact with a person in conversation now. Okay. And as I developed, as I matured and went on in life, I just became much more claircognizant. I feel very confident in what I'm saying when I tune into spirit.
Mm, okay, just knowing. Yeah, just knowing.
Yeah.
Okay, very good, yeah. So that's some ways I think people can make their own assessment of, you know, what's the strongest and go with it. And then, as you said, that could change. And other means of accessing spiritual information will come forward or will develop, that's for sure.
Fantastic. Well, Stephen, the time has flown by, which is always a sign of a wonderful show and a fantastic guest. So we are so grateful that you joined us this evening. You're a really fascinating man. And before we wrap up, Stephen, I want to just ask you very briefly, could you tell our guests, our listeners, how they can find out more about your exciting work?
Well, the primary way would be my website, which is earthmagic.net, not .com, but .net, earthmagic.net, and there's my schedules there. There's articles available that, you know, people can download, and there's a meditation, a free meditation they can download, as well as there's two of my oracle cards. You can do a free reading. Messages from your animal spirit guides, you can do a one card reading, and Earth Magic oracle cards, you can do a one or a three card reading online. There's also apps too. The Power Animal oracle cards and the messages from your animal spirit guides oracle cards, both are now available as apps. So they're really cool because you can carry them around on your phone and do a reading on the spot, you know, if you should need to. So that's how to get a hold of me, and also sign up for a newsletter through the website. I'm also on Facebook pages that gives you an idea of what's going on. Like, there's, I didn't look, but there's, I'm sure, an announcement that was put on there about our show. So Jessica takes really good care of that side of the business. So it's been a pleasure, and I thank you for having me on, Steve. And I do please pass along my best wishes to Patty.
We will. Patty, we will.
And hope she's feeling better before too long.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you, Stephen. And thank you once again for joining us. I'll definitely be downloading those apps after the show and cool. Looking at the online readings as well. So, Stephen, thank you once again for joining us. You've been a wonderful guest, and we very much respect your work and your time. So thank you very much for joining us.
And God bless, and thanks for having me on the show. All right,
thank
take care.
You, Stephen. Bye-bye. God bless you too. Okay, guys, now if you would like to find out more about Stephen Farmer's work, which I'm sure you will, then please do visit his website. It's drstephenfarmer.com, and that's Stephen with a V, so drstephenfarmer.com. You'll also find Stephen's contact information on our website, psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just go to the guests segment and you'll be able to find all the information there as well. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements before we move on to our interaction amongst the co-hosts and our free readings. Please do be sure to visit our website, psychicbloggers.com. There's a whole world of information on there. You can learn about everything from psychic development to animal totems, reincarnation, mediumship. Really, there is so much good information there. So please do check out psychicbloggers.com. And all of the information there is free and provided by the psychics who are dedicated to working on psychicaccess.com. Now, if you'd like a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, please go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our psychics are accuracy tested, verified. They have their unique gifts, so you can check out their detailed profiles and make a selection and speak to the psychic that you're most drawn to. And you can do that by telephone or by video chat through our website, psychicaccess.com. We really do have wonderful, authentic, and gifted psychics. So come along and check us out. It's a great honor to be here on the radio show and to be part of Psychic Access. I'd like to briefly thank Doug for all of his wonderful work in the background, making sure that everything runs smoothly, and also for maintaining the very high expectations that we have of our psychics. Now, all of the co-hosts on the radio show, psychicaccesstalkradio.com, are also available on Psychic Access. So if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, please do visit us on psychicaccess.com, because we would absolutely love to hear from you. Now, if you're a site owner or a webmaster, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading that you refer to psychicaccess.com through your website. So check out that program as well. The information is available online at psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And as I said at the beginning of the show, if you enjoy our work and our guests, please do invite your friends to join us in the chat room and to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint live online or via the archives. And do feel free to send the information via Facebook or email as well. We want to spread the word and bring our spiritual work to as many people as possible. So we very much appreciate you helping us with that. Now, if you would like to call in for a free reading in the show, just a little bit later in the show, I'm going to give you the telephone number right now. So grab your pens. It's 724-444-4851. I'll repeat that for you. It's 724-444-4851. Okay, now, Sharon, I know that your friend's been seeing snakes in the last few days. What do you think she's seeing, or what do you think the message from Spirit is there?
Yeah, like she said that there was one in the garbage and there was one somewhere else, and she thought it was so weird. But he kind of says that there's going to be little signs, right? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, sorry. Absolutely. Yeah.
I
know snake means transformation.
Yeah, transformation and transmutation especially.
Right. So, yeah, no, I just thought it was interesting that he said that, and then she said that's been happening to her.
That's incredible. I have a great story about that particular message from Spirit. I was working with my mentor, and it was only 3 weeks ago, we did a meditation specifically about transmutation, transformation, transmutation. And we'd been talking about manifestation before that meditation. Just randomly, it came up in conversation, and then we moved on to transmutation and did our deep meditation on transmutation. And after that meditation, we made a cup of tea. We went downstairs to the office, and there was a baby black snake in the middle of the room.
You're kidding. That's crazy.
In the house. And I said to my mentor, well, I panicked at first because I'm from Britain, so you know, you've never seen a snake in Britain, unless it's an adder snake. But I panicked at first, and then I realized, whoa, this is incredible. We just did a meditation on transmutation. We come downstairs, the house is all closed up, and in the middle of the room is a small baby snake. And I turned to my mentor and said, that's mind-blowing. It's incredible. And she said, she just looked at me, as she does so wisely and so calmly, and said, it's not incredible. We just manifested the snake. We did a meditation on transmutation. And I just looked at her and said, oh. And it just reminded me that we need to be very conscious of the process of manifestation, because I have always in the past considered manifestation a process of bringing about a circumstance or an energy, an opportunity. But we really can manifest physical things.
Mm-hmm. Really, everybody think diamonds. Everybody think diamonds.
Yes. Oh, they've just the whole pile of them just manifested in my office, Sharon. Thank you.
Oh,
I'll still do the radio show, though, because I love it so much.
Yeah. That's a great story.
Well, thank you, Sharon. Now, Maureen, do you think that all animals communicate with us?
Yeah, you know, that show. This show was absolutely wonderful, Steve. I want, and that was a great thing about diamonds. I see them all over me. Yes, I find that they do, and I think that what he was. Well, here's an interesting notion that sometimes there's certain animals that like the repetitive, like he was talking about, you know, repeatedly will come out about or in a dream or whatever. And I had some guest over last month from the UK, from where you're from, Steve. And they, anyway, I went downstairs to go swimming, I swim laps at nighttime where I live. And I, after I was finished, I was opening the door, and I don't know how I even caught this, but there was this lizard, a small lizard, looking at me that was just sitting on the ground. But it was behind me. But I don't know why I even turned around, but I saw that, and I'm like, well, aren't you cute? And I start talking to this lizard, and it's like 10 o'clock at night, and and the lizard wasn't moving. I thought, okay, this is a, you know, those fake lizards, like a rubber fake lizard. And so I kept talking to it and talking to it. And finally, I picked up a little piece of something, didn't throw it at, hurt it, but kind of just threw it a little bit. And all of a sudden, I saw its head move. So I was going, wow, what are you doing? You're tripping me out. So I went upstairs, and I told my friend about it, because there's not lizards where I live, by the way, either. It's unusual to see a lizard. That I do want to make that clear. Very unusual. And so I was talking to my friend about it, and she said, that's funny. She said, Leona, she was visiting me, and she said, you know, she was from England. She's from England, and she was buying a lot of stuff on eBay, and she was having it mailed to my home. And that day I tried to get into the mailbox, and they had given me the wrong key to let me open up the bigger box. Mm-hmm. She said, well, I think there's a book in there for you, Maureen, that came in the mail today, but you weren't able to get it. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, well, I ordered a book for you, and it's called The Chameleon Book. And I go, really? And so there's another interesting synchronicity. And so the following day, I was able to get this book out, and it was on The Chameleon, and she bought this book for me. And there's the lizard and all this stuff. And I'm like, wow, so there you have it. Yeah, I've never had any interactions with lizards much at all in my life. You know, I don't live in a lizard desert place. And so I do think so, absolutely.
Well, it's great. I remember when I moved to Tennessee, I moved into my house, and it was a really warm day, and I hadn't been here very long, and there was a praying mantis on my driveway, and they're huge. I mean, it was massive. And I remember looking at it thinking, what on earth is that? I mean, it literally had eyeballs. And my mother called me just at that moment. She said, how's the move going? And I said, well, it's going really well, but there's this thing on my drive, and it looks like an alien. I mean, it was scary. And in Britain, we have houses smaller than that.
Yeah, that is pretty scary, Steve. That's interesting. Well, that's a lizard, a mantis, right?
Oh, it was. I don't know, Maureen, but it was, I don't want to see one again.
You didn't have a cup of tea on that one, but
you probably see one. Terrace, hoping they can't climb.
You probably see one after the show now too.
Yeah, probably. I just manifested a whole bunch of them. The word is powerful.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Brenda, can you tell us, what is the origin of animal totems and animal archetypes?
Well, that's really interesting. I mean, the archetypes themselves, as you know, it's the different, you know, he was talking about the different cultures and how they all seem to have the same significance related to the animals that they deal with in their environments. And they only really change a little bit. Like, for example, like the Native Americans are going to have a buffalo, where you wouldn't find a buffalo in Egypt, something like that. And I'm also, you know, as far as the archetypes are concerned, you know, the animals themselves, because of their vibrations and their energies, they become like deities. I mean, they're in our environment, and they represent universal truths. And in the whole thing he was talking about in shamanism and all the magic and the interaction between nature and animals, you know, in our everyday life, we're just walking down the street, we're totally unaware. The animals in our lives, they are nothing but aware. They can't read, they can't speak to us on the telephone, but they know our moves, they know what's going on in our lives, and they have very basic, you know, survival instincts, and they're also highly sensitive and highly psychic. I was curious about the origin of totem, like the totem animal. So I looked it up, and it comes from the Ojibwe tribe, and it was Ototemon. And it was, like, discovered in 1776, that name. It's interesting. A little bit of minutia.
I think so.
It's just fascinating.
It is really fascinating. And, you know, going back to the animals themselves, I liked when he was talking about listening to them. I've had many instances when my animals have talked to me. I remember one time distinctly, one of my horses who's now passed away, I had a shoer come out, and the shoer was a new shoer. And I kept telling him, you know, those feet just don't look right. Later that day, I was in the corral, and I looked over at my horse, and he said to me, my shoes are too tight. Yeah, in his mind, he said that to me. I know it sounds crazy, but they communicate if you will listen to them. Yeah. Many ways that they communicate with you is visually, too.
I'm always really intrigued by the way my cats will sit at the end of my bed. And you know when they look at you and they gently close their eyes and then open their eyes and then close them. And and I often look at them and they may not be doing that. But if I do it, they do it in return. And it seems to be a sign of affection.
Cats are so amazing. I mean, they're revered in many cultures, and they can also move through your dreams. You talked about transmutation, and I don't know if that would be related to, you know, cats have been related to traveling in people's dreams, working for people in the subconscious, stuff like that. I don't know if I'd want one of my cats doing it, because I have a tortoise shell, and they're known to be brats. Yeah.
Oh, they're such a joy. I have three cats, and they just amaze me. They have such unique characters. Well, thank you, Brenda. I've got another question for you, Sharon. What is your power animal?
Well, I'm kind of thinking about that. I think it's a bear, because I kind of resonate with bears, and I just dream about them and stuff. And I know bears are about healers or something like that, and introspection. But I don't know. I just seem to be surrounded by that. I don't know where that question came from, but I just, I guess it was like, I wanted to ask myself, I don't know, but what is yours, Steve? Do you find you have a certain animal that's yours?
Well, I have a number. One of them is swordfish, mm-hmm. and a cardinal is another of my signs. I love cardinals. I have some beautiful photographs of cardinals in my bedroom. I love hummingbirds as well.
Yeah.
I often notice hummingbirds. And then recently, as I said before, grasshopper has cropped up, particularly about conversations relating to the healing center that I'm involved in Knoxville. My partner and I have noticed the grasshopper appearing twice when we've been speaking about potential to expand to other cities. So it's it's so true that the universe communicates to us through animals if we pay attention.
Yeah, and I was saying before that I saw a grasshopper 2 days ago, and I haven't seen a grasshopper in years. So I knew it was your grasshopper. So I said hi to it for you.
Oh, thank you. Shake his hand or his paw, whatever they have.
Yeah.
See him again.
I didn't get too close, so that would be
my grasshopper travels a lot. I mean, I'm in Tennessee, you're in Canada, right?
Yeah, that's kind of far. Maybe it teleported.
It's Jiminy Cricket. Remember, Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah. Don't ever harm a grasshopper.
Especially mine.
Yeah.
It's Pinocchio related. Pinocchio related. You don't want to do that.
Well, Maureen, which animals have been popping up recently in your life?
besides the lizard, you know, rabbits, and at the hospital, my father's been real sick, and the emergency room, and this is in La Jolla in California. And I was out there, and there were several rabbits just having fun. I went to the emergency room, and she goes, there's no rabbits out there. I go, yes, there are. And I went back out, and there weren't any. And then I went back out again a couple hours later, and there they were again. So I took video pictures of them. And also bats.
Oh, bats are transformational.
I think they're my power. Actually, I think a bat is one of my power thingy. Well, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. So, dolphins, yeah. Dolphins are, well, those dolphins are like my kinder spirits.
I love dolphins. I remember I went on a vacation to the Bahamas a few years ago and went in the ocean with dolphins and was sort of propelled by them. It was just incredible. They're magical, magical.
They're human. They're humans in water, as far as I'm concerned. You know,
they're fish people.
Yeah,
fish people.
Yeah,
well, Brenda, how do you advise clients to identify their animal totems?
You know, I believe everybody's so unique. I mean, you know, first of all, you start with what draws you? What are you drawn to? What are the things that are happening in your life now? And most often than not, your animal totem will choose you. It's according to what's going on in your life. Like I'm drawn to many animals, just like he was talking about, you know, they come at certain times in your life when you need them. I've always been drawn to horses, but lately my totem animal is the honeybee. Yeah, because the honeybee is, you know, different aspects, all the busyness, all the many different projects, creativity, stuff like that.
And that's another message for me, actually, because I noticed yesterday in a project proposal, I was typing really quickly and I printed the document off, and afterwards I noticed I'd put in a comment in there, just be, and but I'd mistyped and put two E's, and I was thinking, oh, I must check the message of the bee. It has to be relevant.
Well, you know, I was drawn to the bees, and then I started taking raw bee pollen. I know this is going to sound really strange. I felt like I was turning into a bee. I could feel the energy of the bee inside of me. Yeah.
Wow.
Because there's an element in bee pollen that they can't identify, and I think somehow that synced inside of me, almost like, you know, that movie The Fly. When he turns into a fly, I felt like I was turning into a bee. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going to get some bee pollen tomorrow. I have problems with allergies. I live in Knoxville. It's supposed to be the worst place on the North American continent for allergies.
Wow, it'll transform your life. It will transform your life, I'm telling you.
Oh, great. I think I've got some in my cupboard somewhere, but I brought it from the UK. I probably shouldn't have done that. I think it's illegal. But I guess British...
You're going to go down.
Bee pollen won't work in Tennessee. I know. I've announced it in public. Yeah. I'll be raided tomorrow. There are very strict rules in Tennessee. Very odd rules.
You need local bee pollen.
I know. I'm still trying to work out all of the rules in Tennessee. Well, I think we'll go ahead and take our first caller, guys. We've got a caller from Indiana, and you're taking the first call, Sharon, so over to you.
Okay. Hi, Indiana. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi, it's Sharon. Did you have a question for me?
Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Yes, I think it was kind of funny, that the synchronicity thing, because I actually wrote a children's book called Chameleon, and my question is about an eBay fraud. But anyway, I had an ex-boyfriend that I allowed to use my boyfriend at the time, eBay account, and right now he has destroyed my eBay and PayPal account. It's like -$3,000.
My goodness. Yes, do you have any recourse? Like, can you go after him?
I need some kind of advice. I'm almost scared that he might try to hurt me, because it seems like he probably, you know, he was really, really nice, but as soon as I said something about going to the police about or something, he started to threaten me.
Oh, my goodness.
So I don't know if I'm safe.
Yeah,
or,
well, you know, maybe contact eBay and see what you can do. I mean, I don't want to say anything to jeopardize you because you got to be safe, but maybe this is something you have to, you know, take up with someone. It's kind of not a, you know, it's kind of not a psychic question because I want to protect you.
They want me to pursue it legally. Mm-hmm. And basically are telling me because I initially allowed him to use my account, and it's my account. I'm responsible for the balance. And, you know, I'm disabled, and I don't know how the heck I'm going to be able to get out of that. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm just, it's a mess, and I just wonder if there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I kind of go to November, and I see some of the costs being waived or something. So I don't know if maybe your bank has insurance or eBay has insurance or someone has, some kind of, you know, fraud squad kind of. I mean, I'm a little bit leery of to say anything because, you know, my first instinct is yes, go to your authorities and get it fixed, but then, you know, I don't want to put you in a jeopardizing position, you know? So, but I kind of go to November and I kind of hear you going, oh God, I'm glad that's over, you know, like that. So, keep inquiring with everybody. Maybe if you go to the authorities, maybe they can, do it without saying it was you, you know, or something like that. But I kind of feel some of them are being waived. Maybe, you know, we don't usually do this, but maybe some of the other psychics can help me here, what they're getting, because it's such an important question. Is anybody getting anything?
I picked up something.
Okay. Is that okay? I mean, I know we don't usually do this, but it's such an important question.
Is it okay if I jump in?
Anybody that can help me, I'm open to it.
Yes.
What I'm picking up is that the biggest problem that I see is paperwork entanglement with this person, and that he has so muddied up a lot of these records that it's going to be hard for you to retrieve this money. So you're going to have to backtrack. You're going to have to look at the details. You're going to have to do a lot of footwork and come up with proof. I do feel, like Sharon does, that there will be a certain amount of refunds possible, but some of it is very convoluted. You may have to let it go.
Yeah, and change your password immediately. Yeah.
I believe you planned this.
It's a lesson for all of us, really. Thank you for calling in and telling us all this.
If you're in love with them and they're the sweetest person on the face of the planet, do not allow other people to use. If you're not married to them, don't let them use your PayPal account or your eBay account or anything else for that matter.
That's right. And it's connected to your bank account, right? So it's like terrible.
Well, it's important to be careful. It's an important message for all of us. You know, we live increasingly online, so we have to take so much care. But, well, thank you for calling. We have another caller. Maureen, you're taking this caller from Virginia. So over to you.
Hi, Virginia. Caller from Virginia.
Hey, Maureen. It's Dee. How are you?
Oh, fine. How are you, Dee?
I'm good. Calling to find out. I'm thinking about trying out online dating.
Okay.
You think that is a good idea? Will I meet someone?
Okay. You know, I think that you've been thinking about this pretty. You've put some thought into doing this pre-doing it. Pre-thought, which I think is great, and I think that absolutely I feel the timing is good for you to be doing this, and I think you've done some research. It's not like you're just, you know, some people, well, I don't know, I don't do this stuff, but I know some people in my family have, and they don't put much thought into it, and they've just jump into it all together. You've put some thought into this, and I do get a really good feeling about it, and I do feel I see a man who looks like he's very much down to earth. One particular man, he looks like he lives by the laws of the land. He's very much, he's an honest, decent family man type of person. And I feel this is really good timing. I wouldn't think that you would have done this before. It wouldn't have been really good timing, but the timing looks very positive. Absolutely.
So do you see the this man that you're referring to, is it someone that I'm going to meet right away or some way down the line?
I see him soon. I see him around soon, and I don't know if he'll be this will be a long term or thing. But I guess what I'm trying to say, the experience of going online to meet a person or people, it's very positive. And this one particular man, especially, will be the beginning of it. I just feel it's very positive. But I don't feel that he's going to be the one. It's almost like it'll be in the opening of this experience to do online. And you'll meet up, and I feel very soon, you'll meet up with somebody that he's a positive experience, absolutely. He looks like he has light eyes, blue eyes.
You said he has what?
Light blue or green.
I don't know, I'm wondering if you're picking up on the person that is kind of in my world, but not really in my world. I don't know if that's what you're picking up on.
Oh, well, I don't know. is there somebody like this already surrounding you?
Well, it's so complicated. It's just, I mean, there is, but he isn't. You know, he's in, and then he's distant. He gets close, and then he backs away. So
okay, I see what you're saying. I could very well be picking up on him, and. You're not through with this person, but it does look like there's a lot of a responsibility on your back with this one too. It looks like you carry a burden on your back. Well, I feel that you're not done with this other whoever this one I'm picking up on, and it probably is the one you're thinking of. As far as you trying to get away from this and going online, just to do computer dating, he's not going to go away. This other guy, he's not going to go away. And I do see this incompletion. You know, I do feel it within the next 4 months, though. It does look like your relationship life is going to take a really good turn in not being, it's like, I don't see you being bored at all. At all.
Okay.
At all. It's like there's a lot of activity going on.
Okay, so there's light at the end of the tunnel.
There's a lot of light at the end of the tunnel, yes.
Okay. Well,
more light than I've seen. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, thank you, Maureen.
Thanks,
Steve. Thank you. And good luck to you. We have another caller from Georgia. And Brenda, you're going to speak with this caller from Georgia for us.
Hi, Georgia.
Hello.
How are you? You there?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. Yes, I can hear you.
My husband's from Georgia.
I'm sorry?
My husband's from Georgia.
Oh.
What can I help you with tonight, my dear?
Well, I was interested in, the whole, the topic of the show. And it reminded me of a dream that I had consistently as a child about being in a body of water in a boat and not... Occasionally, I wouldn't even see sharks, but I would know they were there,
mm-hmm.
and I was very afraid. Sometimes I would see them kind of coming after the boat, but they never got to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times it was the same scenario, but it wasn't sharks, it was a whale, but I was still afraid. But I eventually taught myself to wake myself up and to not look at the dream. Like, I would shut my eyes and I would still know it was there. And I would just kind of scream in my sleep to wake myself up. It still happens to me on occasion as an adult, but not nearly as often, and I'm just kind of curious, how that relates to you.
It sounds like you've got something heavy on your mind that you're trying to, you haven't dealt with. Almost like when you dream, like there's a gorilla chasing you, you know, like maybe you have a lot of heavy things like bills or something like that. Those dreams, a lot of times, they will show up like that when you feel like you're surrounded, you know, and you're in deep water, so to speak. I believe these are warnings, well, and I believe it's kind of like a reflection of your subconscious.
They were happening consistently.
Yeah.
I didn't have bills or, you know, the typical.
Well, it could even be personal stuff, too. And a lot of times when we dream about stuff like that, I believe it has something to do with past experiences and past lives, like having to do with water or being around, like, swimming in water. Are you afraid of water?
No, I'm not afraid of water. Ever since I started having those dreams, though, at one point I got afraid to get into water where I couldn't see the bottom.
Yeah, that's interesting. That hasn't happened to me before. It's like you psych yourself out. I used to surf, and then I'd go out there. One day, I thought to myself, oh, I can't touch the bottom. You have to think about what the dream means to you. Like, if you can't touch the bottom, like, you don't feel secure. You don't feel grounded. Do you know what I mean? Then you examine the things that are going on in your life. I feel that some of this is transformational.
I don't know what's down there.
You don't know what's there. You know a change is coming, but you don't know where it's coming from. I feel that there's a message there, too, and it's transformational, like a rebirth for you, because water is an element of rebirth as well. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Well, great. Thank you for calling, and thank you for your reading, Brenda. Just as a quick reminder for our listeners, the telephone number for readings is 724-444-4851. And you can also ask questions if you're in the chat room. However, we do take the call-ins first because of the wait time. And when you do call in, please be aware that you're placed on hold automatically, and we take the calls in the order that they're received. So just relax and listen to the show. Now, we also have a caller from Florida. Who is calling from Florida?
Hi, how are you today?
Hi, I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you. What's your name?
My name is Tyra.
Your name is?
Tyra.
Tyra. Hi, Tyra. How can we help?
Well, I'm a member at Psychic Access, and in two readings, my ex came up without any prompting from me. So apparently, he's going to be making a reappearance. Why?
Okay, I'm not sure I understood the question, Tyra. You were talking about your ex saying,
yes,
if I understood correctly, saying that you've been told that your ex is going to reappear in your life. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, I've had two readings, and for some reason, without any prompting for me, he's come up in both of them. So
okay.
Apparently there's something there with him. What is it?
Okay, so you want some insight about what's happening with him and why he's coming up in your readings?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, let me see. Well, I think when I ask my guides about this situation, Tyra, I feel that the situation between the two of you is still not resolved. As I tune into the situation, it really feels that the ending or the separation was particularly bad for you, and there's a need for him to communicate with you or to explain to you the circumstances, because it still feels unresolved emotionally for you. I feel pain on your part, and I feel a realization on his part that he needs to at least explain or try to correct the situation emotionally. It doesn't feel to me that it necessarily the two of you will get back together, but there is this need for some communication, for some explanation that enables both of you to heal more and move forward in your lives. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, like, is this from him, or is it just something cosmic that needs to be righted before we can both move on, I guess?
I feel strongly that he is thinking of you, and he intends to try to correct emotionally, spiritually, that situation. As I said, not necessarily because the two of you should be back together, or because that he intends for the two of you to be back together, but because his integrity has increased, and he realizes there needs to be an explanation and an apology on his part. And I feel as though you'll receive that in December. I'm drawn to the middle of December. I see the number 16, so I would say the middle of December. And my guides are saying to you, just when you do hear from him, try to be balanced, try to be compassionate in the way you handle his apology and his explanation, because it's necessary for him to explain. It's necessary for your healing as well as his. Okay? And if it, I'm drawn to March, April as well, when I connect to your question and the relationship. Did you meet or separate in March or April?
It was January of, I forgot what year, 2000-something, 2008, I think.
Okay, so you met or you separated in January?
Yes, and we separated, but we were still talking for quite some while after that. I think April is when I stopped talking to him.
Okay, okay. And that's interesting, because I was just playing with the tarot cards, and I drew one tarot card, which is the Four of Swords, and on the deck that I use, it's a picture of a lady lying down, and you know, the swords represent disharmony, grief, and so I felt very drawn to the month of April, and it felt very much that that was when you either separated or when things went silent. So just be aware that it's likely that he'll contact you, that you'll have contact, and that he'll want to, in some way, correct the mistake that he made by giving you an apology or an explanation. But my guides are saying, don't let this hold you back. Don't let the energy of that relationship hold you back. Just carry on with life. Continue to move forward. But just keep in the back of your mind that he's likely to be in contact in order to apologize. Okay?
Okay.
Well, Tyra, wish you lots of luck. And thank you very much for listening to the show and calling in.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Right, we have another caller from North Carolina, and this call is for you, Sharon.
Yep, thanks. Hi, North Carolina, you there?
Hi, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Did you have a question for me tonight?
Yes. I'm psychic also, and I've seen a spirit out of the corner of my eye in my home.
Mm-hmm.
And after meditating, I just felt that they're really, really sad, and they want my help. And my question is, how do I help them?
Okay. Well, first of all, you want to make sure that, you know, when you're monkeying with this stuff, that you have total protection around yourself to make sure that they're, you know, they're not tricking you or anything. So you want to use prayer. I mean, if you, you know, just find some kind of prayer that protects you. And it depends what they're asking for. I mean, you know, I'm sure we all experience it sometimes, and a lot of people want to find the light, and that's why they come to us, you know. So do you think that that's what's going on? Is it a child energy? I'm kind of feeling it's a child energy. Is that what you felt?
I felt it was an adult, and it was leaning towards, like, a male.
A male adult? Okay, yes. You know, because, I mean, spirits are everywhere. So, you know, it just, you right. can ask it, or you can ask your spirit guides or whatever to find out what's going on. I just kind of sense that you have to make sure you're protected and, you know, because it's not for everybody. And just, you know, or you can even ask your spirit guides to help them the best way that they have to be helped, that kind of thing, you know. But let them talk to you and tell them to make it crystal clear. There is a child there in your house too, I sense. So probably the child will come out soon too. Is it an older home?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it feels like they're kind of spirits. I'm hearing from spirit that they're kind of training you in this. So it's like kind of like your lesson. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good. But yeah, just make sure you pray and for your own protection and everyone's protection and go from there. And just tell the universe to be crystal clear in what you're supposed to do. You know, probably either they're just training you or the person wants to go to the light. Okay?
Okay.
Does that help?
I sense that they're also, like, they're afraid to come out. And, I mean, how do I make them feel, like, more comfortable?
Well, they'll come around. It takes time sometimes, right? Don't pull them out because you don't want to, you know, they're living there just like you're living there. It's just a different energy, right. Different, faster energy. So, you know, you don't have to pull them out. Just let it all happen and just be. B-E-E. Okay? All right.
Okay,
you take care. Okay.
Thank you, Sharon. Now we've got a caller from Pennsylvania for Maureen.
That's cute, B.E. Hi, Pennsylvania. Is this Cheryl? Hi, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Maureen. This is Monica.
Monica. Hi, Monica. What can I do for you?
Actually, I actually spoke to you a couple weeks ago, and I'm just wondering, I guess, what do you see as far as my spiritual development goes?
Okay. did you say you spoke to us a couple weeks ago? You know, I feel that you've been working very hard at focusing on your spiritual development. And I feel that you've kind of you've recently actually lost a lot of faith in that department. But have you been working really hard at one particular thing and putting a lot of focus into it? I mean, it looks like you're patient, but it's exhausting.
I've been trying to meditate. I just seem to have trouble, I guess, calming my mind down.
Yeah, meditating is very. You know what? The thing of it is because, like, I feel that you're like, you know, like you're putting your all into it, but you're not feeling you're not seeing the reward from it. And I feel that once you maybe stop thinking so hard about, especially with meditation, for me, I know this to be true. When, you know, you're supposed to get these results from meditating, but you have to have these certain guidelines, which I feel, in my mind, can really put me into a bad place because you're not seeing the benefits. I feel that you really are getting it, but you're not like everybody else. It's just not like everybody else. And I feel that sometimes you may not need to meditate for, let's say, a certain amount of minutes that people, like, will put on. Like, for me, for instance, transcendental meditation I used to do in the 70s, and you had to do it for 20 minutes at a time or forget it. That's the way I was taught, anyway. And I always would get very disappointed in that because if I couldn't do it for 20 minutes, that means I wasn't getting anything. In your case, I feel that you are able to get something, but not by the rules that maybe that you have, you know, gathered from what you've been told. So if you're trying to do meditation, I think it is successful. It's just not by the same rules that everybody else is saying that you should be getting it. Do you follow me?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, so, Monica, that's why you need to give yourself a break, because I do feel that, like I said, you have very good focus, and you have a lot of patience, but I think that you're missing, you are getting back something, because you're looking for the results that come with the rules that pertain to whatever, the others, that don't pertain to you individually.
Right.
You need to
okay.
give yourself a break. I see that you're really able, right now you're in a really good place of learning. You're like a SpongeBob. You know, that anything you're learning right now, you're really soaking it in. You really are. And I do see your personal power, really, you're gathering, you know exactly where you came from, and you're able to manifest anything you want into your physical world. You're heading in a really good direction. Absolutely. Very good.
Really? Great.
Yeah. No, it's your reading. It's not, it's, you know, thank yourself. But, Monica, you're on a good track, and don't worry about what the meditation you're supposed to get. Like I said, it doesn't apply to everybody. Everybody's different. But you're doing great. I see you thriving along in November very well. You're going to get a lot of knowledge and things. So there you have it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you, Monica. Good luck. And thank you to you, Maureen, as well. Now, Brenda, you've got a caller from New York City.
I'm ready, New York. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, I'm Dan. I just wanted to know, like, when I get back on a normal sleeping schedule and sort of, you know, follow, like, the sleeping schedule like most people do, like sleep at night and not sleep through the day.
Okay, so you're on an erratic sleep schedule, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a look. It feels like this wasn't always the case. Is this recent?
Excuse me?
Is it recent that you've been having these erratic sleep patterns?
Is it recent? I can't understand it very well.
Is it happened recently?
No, it's been happening for the past several years.
Well, what I'm getting is it's about balance in your life. And because a lot of things are kind of up in the air for you right now. And there's something that you need to be doing for yourself to bring balance back in. There's a lot of emotions involved, especially with personal relationships, that if you put them behind you, it's going to help. Because you're highly sensitive. You could even be an intuitive person. Can
okay,
you hear me?
So what do I put behind me?
It feels like you need to put behind you a lot of, because you're highly sensitive, especially to emotional issues, it feels like there's something, when emotional issues come in, they keep you awake, they're out there, and they affect you more than other people that aren't as sensitive as you are. You're even sensitive to other people's, you know, energies, family members, people that you care about. It's about being able to protect yourself from that so it doesn't, like, bug you so much so that you can get the rest that you need. That's what I see.
I think I'm sensitive to how people treat me, not to other people, but how people treat me.
Right. Uh-huh. And that brings a lot of emotions up. When is your birthday?
Excuse me?
When's your birthday?
February 16th.
Yeah. I see for you that this situation is going to find balance. I do see it. There is a key for you, and I feel that you're working on it and is related. Because if you don't get sleep, it affects your health, you know? And so it's gotten to a point where you need to find the source of it. And the source of it isn't just in the physical realm. It's now transcended into the emotional and the spiritual. So there are some things that you have to kind of back up in your life, and if you can do some meditation, do you do any kind of meditation?
I don't know how to. I have a really hard time shutting off my brain.
Oh, I know that's such a challenge. You have to find a way that works for you. Some people use tapes with music. Some people focus on objects, but I'm really seeing that if you can find a form of meditation, that it will greatly help you find balance with your sleep patterns.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Brenda. I know that I personally struggle with sleep at times because the work that I do is emotional work. And, you know, if we are highly emotional, sensitive people, then we really have to nurture ourselves and get into a routine of really winding down, relaxing, making sure that we do take time out for ourselves. And I've learned just that, Brenda, that the more I take care of myself, the more my pattern, my sleep pattern, my psychological pattern calms itself, and exactly. Life just flows more easily. So we are the key to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we have a question from Cheryl in the chat room, and I'm going to take this question. And the question is, how about where my relationship with Frank is heading? Okay, Cheryl, Frank. I feel strongly with your situation, Cheryl, that you need to take your time. My guides are saying that you really want to fall in love, but it's a little too soon. For some reason, it's not quite the right time for you to jump head over heels into love or into a relationship. My guides are saying that if you tune in to the month of February, it feels as though there was a very significant decision for you in February just of this year, and that you've made a lot of change in your life. And my guides are just saying, don't rush. Don't be overly attached to jumping straight into a full-on long-term relationship. Frank's a good guy, but you need to nurture yourself. You need to take time to transition. You must have had a tough year and a lot of change, but it seems that you're longing to launch straight into a new situation, straight into a relationship, and you need to slow down a little. You know, the message of the turtle or the tortoise comes to mind. I feel strongly from what my guides are showing me, that Stephen's advice earlier in the show about the tortoise's message, slow down, there's no hurry. This seems to be very relevant to you in response to your inquiry. So, in summary, my guides are saying to you, Frank's a good guy, it's a nice relationship, a good connection, but slow down. Just take your time, love yourself, trust life, trust spirit, and focus on discovering yourself now that you are in a position to do that. Don't rush it with Frank. That's the message that I get in response to your question, Cheryl. You know, it's so important that we discover ourselves, that we look within, because when we explore who we are, when we really reflect upon the experiences we've had in life, including relationships and the dynamics we've manifested or magnetized in relationships, we have to integrate what's occurred and realize the lessons that we were magnetizing in previous relationships. And we have to integrate those lessons so that they don't need to reoccur. So we need to love ourselves and be comfortable having some solitude at times and reflecting, learning who we are, integrating the past and getting clarity about what we want to be, what we want to create in our lives, and how we want to experience relationships in future. So really, we need to take time to reflect, to learn, to grow, to become more of ourselves, to become our best selves. And as we do that, and we reflect within ourselves, the world around us changes in response to the energetic shift within us. So that's what my guides are sharing, and it feels that that message is relevant to many people that are listening to and will listen to the show. The tortoise respects itself. It protects itself with its hard shell. It doesn't rush. It moves gently through its environment, respecting what's around it. And it seeks out and consumes just what it requires. So it seems really important that we reflect upon that and protect ourselves. So there we go. I went on for a little while, but that's what my guides were sharing. Now, that was the last reading. We have a couple of minutes left to just talk amongst ourselves, co-hosts. It was a great show, I think.
Yes, it was.
Awesome. Stephen Farmer is a wonderful guy. And so what timing and synchronicity, just as we're all being so aware of the power that animals and insects convey, and the messages that they bring us.
Yeah, they bring it to us without baggage, don't they? They don't have the baggage we do.
It's very true. We carry a lot of baggage.
Mm-hmm.
We really do. And I think that, Brenda, that's why it's so important that we reflect, because if we don't, then we fail to relieve ourselves of the baggage that we carry. And if we don't relieve ourselves of our baggage and become more conscious of what we want to create, then we just attract more baggage and other people's baggage.
Yep.
Well, there we go. So I know that you're hosting next week's show, Maureen. This was a great show this evening. I want to just take a moment to thank Doug again, because he works so hard behind the scenes to keep us on track as our executive producer. So thank you to you, Doug, and thank you to all of our co-hosts this evening. And I hope that Patty's listening and that she's feeling better. But Maureen, can you tell us a little about the show next week and what we have to look forward to?
Yes, Stevie, it was a wonderful show, by the way. Intuitive Palmistry with Peggy Advidson, and she's a intuitive palm reader, and it's going to be a very interesting show, I feel, and I think everybody will agree, because palmistry is very interesting. And she's been practicing for quite a long time, and she also does readings through internet, which is interesting, and we'll talk about that more on the show as well, how she does that. So there you have it.
Well, that sounds great, Maureen. We've got some brilliant shows lined up, some really, really great shows lined up. So I know that I always enjoy your show, Maureen. I enjoy all of our shows, but I could just listen to you forever.
Me?
You make me laugh. I can't stop listening to the show when Patty made a comment about the number 69. That show is so uplifting. I've listened to it about 5 times.
You're funny, Steve. That was a numerology show, yeah.
Yeah, the numerology show.
It was
great.
You're just like, you're my best friend, aren't you?
We're such a long way from each other, though.
Yeah.
I need to come to San Diego and
see you
sometime.
I think you will soon. I can feel it soon. I almost got you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to sell some diamonds. Well, I'll get my own plane with some of these diamonds.
You know? Yeah, thanks for sharing. Well, that was a great show.
I'm going to pick Doug, Sam, Brenda up, and Patty when she's better. We'll fly over for a weekend.
Yeah. Well, good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Bye. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Good night, guys, and join us again next week. Thank you to you, Brenda, for joining us. We hope to have the opportunity to bring you back on the show sometime. You were fantastic, so thank you.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Thanks, Brenda. Mm.
Wonderful. Good night, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend.
Bye.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.